Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy and welcome to the show. I'm Mike, he's Bobby. This is the Laptop Empires Podcast, and today we're going to do things a little bit differently. We don't have like a real topic for you. We're going to play a little game. Got a little game. So I hope you're ready, Bobby, because I'm excited.
Yes, so, I'm ready.
Today we're going to do a little rapid fire question action. So Bobby has some questions for me. I have no clue what they are. And I've got some questions for him. They're going to be business related. We're going to keep it PG. We're not going to be digging into personal things or trying to figure out how Bobby keeps his beard so glorious. That's not how we're going to roll today. We're going to keep it related to the topic, but I'm hoping this will be fun. I don't know about you, like, but I listen to an obscene amount of sports radio. than I watch sports, I listen to sports radio, and they always do stuff like this. I just think it's fun. They'll be like, all right, you know, we're going to do, you know, they'll do something like they'll have a series of questions. They'll be like, all right, who are going to be the, you know, like the recruiting class that's come, you know, that's about to sign. Who's going to be the three biggest impact recruits in year one? Or it'll be like, okay, so-and-so, you know, we just had the all-time leading rusher just left A&M, set the record this year. So it's like, all right, who's going to replace him? Who's the best candidate to replace him? Stuff like that. And I always think that's fun. That's kind of interesting. And the people have to like think of answers like in the moment. They don't get to like pre-script them.
Right.
And I feel like we're pretty good at just like winging it. So this should be good. I'm excited. Well, I'm nervous though, but I'm excited.
Yeah, we wing it all the time. Like Coral's getting ready to do her YouTube channel. The amount of planning she's put into it, I'm just like, God, if we could plan that much, we'd probably be more successful. Because I feel like we just do things. But yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first? Like, how do we want to do this?
I don't care.
Okay.
I'll go first. Do you want to go first? Like me ask you a question?
No. I'm going to ask you a question first.
Oh God.
Hope you're ready. No, this is a good one.
I don't want to go first.
I'm kidding. Okay. What did you dislike most about being a lawyer? Like what did you dislike enough to where it made you start a side hustle and like eventually leave? Like why would you not continue the lawyer path versus doing this whole business online thing working
for you? Oh man. Well, first off, it had nothing to do with being a lawyer. Like that's not why I did it. Like I started a side hustle because I saw an opportunity online. Specifically I had people asking me for help like around weight loss because I had had a weight loss transition that I've since like completely undone. So, let's be real. I gotten a little chubby. I had like a six pack and now I'm chubby again. and so see, this is going to be fun. And so I'd had people asking me and there was this website that was kind of like the Facebook for fitness, but it was like a game. And so like you had a profile and stuff, but you'd put in your workouts and you would get experience points and you'd level up and there were challenges and things. And it was really cool. And they were doing these coaching programs and I joined one of them and it was really awesome. And I was like, this is really cool. And they were looking for coaches and I saw an opportunity and I was like, I could do this, but I didn't feel comfortable. I wasn't like sure like what I would do. So I actually got my current client, Jason, I brought him in. I was like, dude, you do this. I will tell you exactly how to run it, how to set it all up, how to market it and everything based on what I've seen other people doing. You'll teach me some of this back end stuff and then I'll do it. And so we ran this program, had like 100 people in the very first one we did. Then I broke off and did my own thing. And so it was just, I saw an opportunity on this platform and I took advantage of it because I wanted to make some money to help with my student loans. I had zero intention to not practice law. And it's one of those things, like I always tell people I accidentally fell into this. And it's because I went into it thinking, I'm going to do this for a couple years, make a little extra money, and then I'm going to go and like just do my career. And then as I shifted from fitness and I found marketing and stuff, what really ended up happening is, like, one, I realized that I could make a lot more money. The upside was a lot higher. And I realized I enjoyed it more. And it fit my lifestyle more. Katie, my wife, will tell you, like, I'm not cut out for the 9-to-5 lifestyle. I'm much more effective doing a little work here and a little work here. And, you know, like, do some work in the morning, middle of the day, in the evening, at night, when I wake up in the middle of the night, like, just random times. I do better when I kind of go with the flow and just, like, you know, go with where my energy's at and where my mind is at. So it had nothing to do with law, and it had to do more with, like, the personal situations, what things that were happening in my life. But I will say, the biggest thing for me when it does come to law, the biggest problem I have with it, and I definitely feel like I dodged a bullet, because I have a lot of friends that work like 80 hours a week and hate their lives, and I don't have to do that. But one thing I realized is I loved the study of law. I really enjoyed case law and learning about these cases and kind of the history. And I'm this weird person that enjoys studying things and learning and researching. But I don't like the practice of law. Like, the work, the actual work that you do as an attorney and the things that you have to do, not as much fun. And I think most people would skip around, but it was just like, that was kind of the big thing for me. So that wasn't the reason why I left, but it's just like, in hindsight, I'm like, man, the practice of owning an online business is something that I love and I'm passionate about, and the practice of law is not. Yet, I will still go read a book about, like, the Supreme Court, because I think it's fascinating, you know, like, stuff like that. So I accidentally found something that was a better fit. It was not like, I hate my life, I have to get out.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't see it. It's funny, every time I think about being a lawyer, like, what that job would entail, like, it doesn't seem as much fun as what I thought it would be growing up. You know, when I talk to lawyers now, they're just like, oh yeah, I gotta do, you know, I gotta do the billable hours and all that stuff. Like, it always seems like a little bit less exciting. Cause I think when growing up, all of us are like, ooh, lawyers, doctors, you know, those are sexy career paths. But I have friends that have been lawyers that are like, it's not as
there's
great.
There's
some
sexy things about it, but there's a lot of not sexy things.
I could see being like a defense attorney being really cool. You know, cause my wife and I like to watch these like Netflix Making of Murder and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, that's so intense and like probably exciting and probably super stressful. Or being a prosecutor or whatever. Like, I could see that, like the whole, you know, trying to win the case and all of that being really fascinating. But like, my lawyer for Millennial Money Man, he specializes in like online business disclaimers and stuff. Right. It's like, that doesn't sound like stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was doing mostly like oil, and that was fun. Like, I liked oil and gas. It was one of those things. Like, I loved studying oil and gas and energy in law school, but that was like a lot of contracts, and contracts can be pretty boring. Fun fact though, as I was getting out, I had a person recruit me, and this was based on, he had spoken to some attorneys that I'd worked with, and they had kind of like recommended me based on my personality. They thought I would be a good personality fit for it. And he was kind of a big shot defense attorney that like defended like mobsters and like criminal, like stuff, like big criminal stuff. Not like, you know, hey, here's your assigned defense attorney. Like, these were like, he was one of those defense attorneys that like people are hiring him privately and he's making good money. And you might look at that and go, and anyway, I really thought about it, like, because, and I feel like if I went back to law, I don't know if with the hours and because of my family, if I do this, but like, that might be one of the areas that I would consider. And now I'm probably going to have a lot of people that are like, you're a horrible human being, you're going to defend murderers, because like, that's what people think of defense attorneys. But like, if you defense attorneys, like, it's a challenge. Like, and it's a lot of the people that end up being defense attorneys, it's not that they're like soulless people. They tend to be people that believe in the process and believe that everybody deserves due process, and that they are very competitive and they like the challenge of, you know, being the prosecutor, like being like the justice warrior, like that's, everybody wants to do that. But being on the other side, you got to be a little more creative, and I don't know. So it just, that was one of the things that would have been interesting.
I don't want to get too much into that stuff, but I can just tell you, after listening to like the Serial podcast and watching Making Murder, like, we need defense attorneys in the society, because like, you need somebody to stand up for you if you feel like you can do it.
You know, did you finish that yet?
I've gotten almost all the way through it, and my opinion is changing. At first I was like, no, he totally did it. Like whatever. Yeah. And then, now that we're a couple episodes away from the end, I'm like, I don't know if he did it.
What are your thoughts? Like, cause I told you when you told me, when we went and bottling bourbon, you were listening to it on the trip. And I told you like, I don't have a belief about whether he did it or not. I'm not sure, but legally I don't think he should have been in jail. Do you see that?
There's so many mistakes and they didn't really have a whole lot on him. You know, he just happened to be the guy that was like, the only thing that's weird to me is that he is not able to really explain like a lot of things that happened that day. But that does kind of make sense because like, if you asked me what I ate for like lunch 3 or 4 days ago, I'd be like, I don't know. Like I can't remember what, you know? And that's what they were saying in the show is like innocent people typically can't remember the details of the day that they're being accused of doing something. But the people that are guilty, like, and are lying, they make a
big day.
Yeah. They know every single detail. Yeah. They like overly know the details. And so, you know,
Bobby, I don't know what day is it. I don't know what day it is. You know, I mean, like, let's just think about like us, like, I don't know. I don't know what I did yesterday.
It's you know? Dude, it's Thursday. I had to actually sit there and think about what day it was. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I gotta look at a calendar. Really not sure. Yeah. So
sorry, we're getting off track, but yeah.
Anyway, okay. So check it out. We'll go ahead and great podcast. Great podcast. They actually have a they did another one that's not part of Serial. The second season of Serial was pretty interesting, and it was about the Bergdahl case where he abandoned his post over I think it was in Afghanistan. I can't remember. The third one I didn't like as much, and it was more about like a court system. But they did this one called Shit Town that was like not part of Serial, but it was like separate, and it was good, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. So anyway, great podcast. I got a question for you now. Okay.
Okay.
So you can't be a blogger. You can't run Facebook ads, but you still have to start an online business. What do you do?
Go. Oh, man. It's got to be an online business. Holy crap. Can't be a blogger. God, man, I don't know. See, I watched this YouTube thing that Coral's doing. I'm like, nah, don't think I could do that. There's a lot that goes into that, but it'd still have to be an online business. I'd probably start some kind of like online retail store or I've never even thought about that before. I don't even know what's lucrative outside of blogging and doing marketing work online. I'd probably start some kind of like e-commerce thing or I think something like that. Maybe sell some stuff on Amazon. Maybe do some eBay flipping. That's probably what I'd do. eBay flipping. Now that I think about it, there's a lot of money in that because I have a lot of friends that have done it. And it's like, I'm surprised. Like I have a friend that does it all the time. He found some like Italian leather shoes at a garage sale and turned around and sold them for like $500. And it was just like, he just finds these things. He's got like a storage place now. And he just has like inventory and he just like, that actually might be kind of fun. I can see that. The one regret I have about doing what I do is I don't really get outside as much as I want. Like I was telling you, like, I was like, man, you know, I've got this super old truck and I wish that I was like, maybe I should get still used, but something better. And then I was like, I never drive. There's no point in even having a car.
Right.
So I wish I was like drive. That would be good to get out of the house a little bit more. These are champagne problems. I know. Cause I work from home, but that's one of the things. So maybe probably eBay flipping. I think I could do that. You know, something like that.
Really
that's a hard question. Cause I legitimately have never even thought about. If you would ask me non-online business, I'd probably say swimming pool company. I'd be running a swimming pool company right now. I know it. And I would hate it, but I'd be making good money.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
The one, I'll tell you this, because a lot of people know this, but I was going to start a swimming pool company before I did Millennial Money Man. And I, because a good friend of mine, one of my mentors, Jim, he owns a swimming pool company. He did it for years. So like, he kind of taught me all about business. So I really have a pretty good inside knowledge of how that business works. And out of all the reasons that you wouldn't do it, because you can make great money doing it, it's hard to hire good people because it's like less, you know, like being an HVAC tech is way better than being a pool guy. Like just that pool guy connotation and like keeps a lot of people from doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not as much like standardized training on how to do it. And so it's hard to hire good employees that stay around for a really long time. And the other thing is your arms get all cut up. Like Jim had like his arms from his wrist to his elbow are like completely cut, like, cause you're reaching into the pool equipment and like doing all that stuff. And it's, like I said, great money, but Coral didn't want me to do it. Cause she was like, you know, he's had to have a back surgery and a foot surgery and like has knee problems. And she really didn't want me doing like manual labor kind of stuff. And so we had that conversation and I decided not to do it because of that.
Really interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. Now you do. Mm. So your next question.
Why we do the rapid fire question.
Where do you see Laptop Empires in 5 years?
Oh man.
Yeah.
This is a hard question because it doesn't matter where I see it. Like, it's like, we got to talk about like where we see it and like what we want to do, you know?
You can't punt the question.
No, I'm not going to punt it. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, it's a tough question because what if I'm like, I say something and start a business marriage feud because
you're not
like,
going to hurt my
feud. That. No, to me, like 5 years from now, I think the education thing is the thing for us. I feel like that's kind of where our strong suit is. Like that's where we do the best work. And so I think continuing to do that. And so I think if you look 5 years down the road, we'll have a lot more free info products. We'll have a lot more lower dollar mini course type info products. I don't think that we'll have a ton more courses. I think there's maybe one other course that we would do, but you know, promoting other people's courses. We've already started to source like, you know, people that we trust that have relevant courses. And so I kind of see Laptop Empires as a couple things. As a content platform, I see it as like a place that like people want to be featured on. And so when you go to somebody's site, it's like, featured on Laptop Empires, you know? So I can see like having a lot more guest content creators, both bloggers and video. And having other people that are creating content on the site and being more of like an aggregator. And then just kind of being this like go-to place, like you want to start an online business and just having different options available. And that's why I said about like aggregating the course. So whether you want to get into copywriting or sales or whatever, you know, we'll kind of have those things available. And so we're going to be earning through affiliates, I think, as much as like through our courses. And then I think the education thing is big. And so I think at some point, we're not doing this now. Like we've talked about not doing this now about like having the free Facebook group, but I feel there's going to be a day where we'll finally pull the trigger and create a big Facebook or big Laptop Empires community on Facebook that's free. Right. And I can see either, you know, having some sort of membership education platform. And so like, I could see us having where we have the courses are in there, or maybe the courses are separate, but having a place where we're regularly doing these master classes, kind of like, which we kind of do anyway, but like maybe opening those up to the public, but having the recordings and stuff behind a paywall where people can pay like a low monthly fee to be part of, like, you have the big free community. And then there's like the paid community where they can ask questions. They can access all of the training, and just, we have this big network. And so having people like Chris and Jessica and Mike Heath and Gary Griffiths and Tega and like all of these people that we hang out with and we know coming in and sharing their expertise. And then I know through doing that kind of thing, we'll bring other people in. You know, we have people that we're going to be bringing on the show here in the next month or so that have never come and taught and done content for us that have great information. And so I think just bringing in, I feel like we can do a lot of good by leveraging our network and continuing to grow our network and having those people teach to our audience. And so I just look at it as this huge online business educational platform, like where people go to learn whatever, you know, and we have options for if you're getting started. And then from that, I think what would be a lot of fun is doing live events, not like going and regularly doing like live events, but doing something like, hey, we're doing a 3-day event in Vegas, you know, and having like this big mastermind session, but then just entrepreneurs hanging out, or like you just rent like a beach house somewhere, like this massive like beach house condo or whatever. And like people are, you know, you do hot seat sessions and all of this, just like more individual high end stuff for people that are at that level. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot there, but I think that's kind of like the big fuzzy picture that I could see us going toward, with realizing that there's a lot that can happen in 5 years. And so I could see us heading that direction and pivoting anywhere. I have no idea if that's in your vision at all, but like, that's just kind of,
no, that all sounded good. I don't know, man. I've always thought that I'm just like, there's so many different directions we could take with this thing. I think it's going to be good no matter what. Like, I think in 5 years it's going to be like, it's going to be really good. I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot of that made sense though. Yeah. You know, I do think that courses are just educating people. I feel like that's like our kind of superpower and like inspiring people and getting people to really do some stuff in their lives. So I feel really good about that.
I feel like there's two things that to me that I think are important, like going forward, is like, one, I've realized I have two kind of driving forces like that I want to consider. One being that like, I want to impact as many people as possible, and not like cheesy, like I want to impact lives, but in that, like, I want to help create as many entrepreneurs as possible. And then the next one being that, like, I want to provide a situation for my family that we can do whatever. And when my kids are off from school in the summer and, you know, Katie's not working anymore, I would love, like, during the school year to like hustle my face off. And then during the summer, be able to like really pull back and have everything continue working and just travel or do whatever I want with my family and have that. I know my wife had that because both her parents were teachers, and that's something she values a whole lot. And so when I think about those two things together, the thing that always comes to my mind is, okay, more content-based, more like very accessible content and courses, right? And because, for a couple of reasons, that kind of stuff is going to be something that you can scale more and more people can get access to, which really helps with kind of my first goal. But if we go the angle of like the more high ticket and the coaching and the masterminds and that kind of stuff, that involves more time and it involves more travel and it helps people at like a higher level, but it's not accessible to as many people. And so when I look at those kind of things, I go, okay, it doesn't fit that first goal and it doesn't fit the second goal being with my family either, because it's going to be, I'd rather create the asset that helps people and then be helping in a group format where I can come and go a little easier than where it's like, you know, I know people that do that high-end model and they'll like post and they'll be bragging. They're like, in the next 2 months, I'm visiting these 8 cities. And it's like, okay, you're traveling every week. When do you see your kids? And they probably, I know a lot of them have a really good family life. So I know that's not prohibitive, but like, I don't like, I've left, you know, like traveled away from my family for a couple of days at a time. I hate it. I'm not wired that way. So I think those are like some considerations for me that make me like look and say, that's kind of the picture I see.
Yeah. No, that sounds cool.
All right. So time for me to ask you a question. You're on the hot seat now. It is time. All right. Yay. I've got a real thinker. Mm-hmm. I got to remember what it is. Okay. What's one thing that you're not doing in your business right now that you wish you were doing?
Ooh. There's a lot, actually. There's a lot of things I wish I was doing right now.
One thing.
I wish all of the weed magnets were better on Millennial Money Man. That's been my biggest regret over the course of the past probably year. Because I hate to make an excuse for myself, but we were freaking busy with Laptop Empires. Mm-hmm. And all of the weed magnets on Millennial Money Man, I feel like could be improved, minus the Launch That Blog one. Like, I think that lead magnet is spectacular. And it's really effective. And I think everything else sucks. Mm. So like my homepage sign up, not good. You know, I don't have like an automation that I put people or a sequence that I put people into to, you know, get them to front end products or get them to Facebook side hustle. And for a long time, I've wanted to, depending on the type of post it is, like if it's a side hustle post, I want to have like some kind of lead magnet for a Facebook side hustle. If it's something about online business, like I want to have something for Facebook ads for bloggers maybe.
Right.
Even if it's just like free budgeting stuff or whatever, that's one of my biggest goals, I think, this year, is to get that figured out, because I'm still getting, like, depending on the day, anywhere from like 40 to 100 email subscribers, which is incredible. But it's like, I could be doing so much more. So back when we launched Facebook Side Hustle in January of 2018, I had roughly like 13,000 people on my email list, but the rate of growth, like I was like, okay, I think this is going to be like 60,000 by the end of the year. I got to 30, which I'm still super happy with. But yeah. I think these are champagne problems, but I think had I had better lead magnets on the site, I could have hit that 60 goal. But just for the audience, like the more people you have on your email list, the more money you're going to make. That's just the way it is. And so I'm just like, but at the same time, like my business income and the revenue for Laptop Empires and all that stuff was great in 2018. So I can only complain so much, but yeah, that's the biggest thing. I wish that my thing that I'm going to do is get better lead magnets on the site. I have to. And I think we need better ones on Laptop Empires too.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, that's one of the things that's like the biggest thing that we're focusing on in the first quarter is the lead magnets and stuff like that. And because list building is a big goal, I'm like, I know, I'm like, man, let's get to 100,000 subscribers.
Right.
Like that's the big goal between us. But I think, you know, building courses is, it's so funny. Like I actually started putting together a lead magnet yesterday on how to create a profitable course in 7 days and the process that we use to kind of outline a course and record it. And the actual process of like creating a course can be done very, very quickly. And you can do it very well, very quickly. But then going in and it's like the sales page and the emails and the automations and the funnels and like all the stuff, like there were so many different things that we've done. And then like one of our courses, you know, this whole year would have looked a lot different if we had just had the one course and focused on that. But then we made this mini course and we turned it, you know, which is Facebook ads for bloggers. And then we turned it into like a big course. And then this past week, we expanded it again. I mean, this thing has got, I counted it up. We went from 6 videos to around 30 videos to now version 3 has over 60 videos.
Man.
Like it's insane.
It's a lot.
And it's a lot. So it's a massive course. You know, when you think about that, we've spent a lot of time building the courses and everything. And so now it's like, there's all this other stuff that normally you would do first, like the list building and the content stuff and all of that. And we used existing audiences and existing assets to build everything up. And so now it's like, okay, now we need to build the Laptop Empires assets. So yeah, man, I think that's a really good one. And I'm actually not surprised you said that now, because that's kind of something that we've talked about was going to be a big focus for you. So
yeah, I mean, there's other things, of course, I'd love to work on. Like, I need to increase the traffic to Millennial Money Man. I'm working on SEO. Like, I need to dig my hands more into Pinterest and Pinterest paid traffic. Like, there's so many things. But yeah, if I can just get the lead magnet thing, like that's, I think if all bloggers or really just business owners focused on optimizing what they already have first, they're going to be a lot more successful than just going like, I need more people, more people, more people. So that's kind of the approach I'm going to be taking. Like, yes, I'm going to be growing traffic in 2019, but I want to optimize what I already have to produce better results. And then we'll scale it, you know, or we'll scale it throughout. Cause the scaling part is a long-term thing, but the optimization, like I can take care of most of the lead magnets probably in February and set up some email sequences. And it's just a matter of like having the time to
setting the time to it. Yeah.
But that's why, like, you guys don't know this, but Mike was like, Bobby, please don't take a vacation the beginning of February, because we need to like set all this stuff up for Laptop Empires. And it's like, I want to do that for Millennial Money Man too. So I'm waiting till the end of February for my vacation. And my wife is watching the YouTube channel, which is the real reason. But
I was like, Coral's going her first video live on the 21st. There's no way she's taking a vacation before.
She's very serious about this YouTube channel.
She's about to be a way more serious business person than we are.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh God. She's going to make so much more money than us. It's going to be awesome. Cause I'm married to her. So that's a good thing.
Bobby's new business goal is to have Coral retire him.
Yeah.
And then I'm exactly. Gonna be...
Yeah. I did it for her. So now it's time to, it's her turn to retire me. Actually, I love what I do, but you know, I'm excited for her. So are we doing more questions? We got 2 more. Dos Moss.
Yep. Let's do it.
Oh, am I asking you a question?
Mm-hmm. Bring it.
Oh, this one's a little bit deeper.
What
is your biggest business fear? I'm not talking about like a long-term thing or whatever, but like, you know, I feel there's always like all these things that like, I'm like, man, what if traffic dries up tomorrow? Or like, what if this happens? Or what if this happens? Like, do you have anything for your business where you're just like, it kind of keeps you on edge a little bit sometimes?
So the first thing is like, I think a lot of people like around me, maybe family, friends, and things like that, their biggest fear for me is that this isn't going to be viable long-term. Like it's going to, one day I'm not going to be able to make money doing what I'm doing. And that is not a fear for me, because the reality is there's certain things that I do that might not be around one day, but I've been doing this long enough and I have enough skills now that like, I know that if I woke up tomorrow and wasn't making money from anything else, that within a month, I could be earning a good wage, like a good salary again, just based on consulting and coaching or, you know, or just providing marketing advice. Like that's one of those things. I could just start hustling and get some coaching clients that are paying me, you know, a couple $1,000s each per month and be okay. And I, you know, I do some of that work. And so like, I know that will always be there until I can figure out the next thing. So that's not really a concern for me. My biggest fear actually has to do more with working too much. So like, for example, this week we're getting ready. We just had, we had a launch and we're doing an affiliate launch. And so we had 2 weeks of just like working like crazy. And my oldest son, who's going to be 4 in April, you know, he's kind of at that age where like he understands a little bit now, like when I'm working, but he doesn't understand like why I have to do it. And so there were a couple of times this week where I was working and he would come up to me and be like, "Dad, can you stop working and come play Transformers with me?" And I was like, "No, I have to finish what I'm doing and I'll play with you afterward." And he's like, "No, you don't have to do that. You just stop working and then you come in this room with me and we play Transformers." And like that breaks my heart, you know? And like, right. So that's one of those things. And it's not a big deal because I spend a ton of time with him. Like it was right. just, you know, that 1 week was just a little crazy. And then, you know, the rest of this week and next week, it's going to be super low maintenance this weekend. Like we're just going to chill and it's going to be great. But my biggest fear is that like, I never fully get out of that mode of just having tons to do and working too much and not like being present. And because that's just something that like I personally struggle with because I enjoy it. And so right. I like the work that we do and I like doing these things. And so the fear is something that's totally in my control, thankfully, but I know myself. And so it's one of those things that like, I have to be very intentional about it. And so I have to, for example, because this is something we both do, I have to not put too many things on my plate, right? So, you know, right. one of the reasons that we worked so much in the last week or so is because when we were doing this affiliate launch, we're like, if we're going to do this, and instead of saying we're going to expand the course one day, let's totally do it right now. Let's take it from 30 videos to 60 videos and get right. all of that in place. And then, you know what? Let's do a custom sales page instead of the teachable sales page. Like, let's update that. And so we did all of these things. And we're like, okay, cool. We've got a week. Let's do it. And we put all of this like stuff on our shoulders that was like, it's kind of ridiculous. And we did it because, you know, but it was one of those things like for me to avoid that trap, it's just a matter of like, stop putting so much stuff on my plate, pace it out more, you know? And I think this is something that like everybody deals with in business. Cause I thought about the fact that like today I don't want to do anything, you know, like I'm like, man, I'm so kind of burnt out. We work so much. I just want to chill. And like, you can't fall into that that trap of like overworking and then doing nothing. Like what you need to do and what's very difficult is the times when you have nothing to do, you need to do something within a time bound limit. Because if you can do just a little bit on the days that's making progress on a project on the days you have nothing to do, that way you're always just working those kind of set hours, then you're not going to have those times, at least as often, where you're just like hustling your face off and working all night, right? And that is much better as a lifestyle than getting in those situations where you don't do much. And then it's like you're cramming for an exam, you know, like you're cramming and you're working those late nights. Those are always stressful. They're bad for your health. They're bad for your family. And so for me, it's just like not falling into that trap, right? Which is my natural instinct, is to chill when there's not much to be going on. And then when it's go time, to turn it on and go all in all night, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
So that's a good question, but that's definitely what it is for me.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
All right. My turn to ask a question, and I'm not going to lie. I thought about this one really hard and came up with a lot of options. And they all suck. They're really bad questions. I just could not come up with a good one. So I'm going to cheat and I'm going to throw your question back at you because I thought it was a really good one. So like, what's your biggest fear in your business? Don't say spiders.
No, I'm not. I'm, you know, actually the exterminator is coming out today because we always have spiders in our house. So it's funny you said that. Man, you know, mine is actually not the working too much thing. Probably because I don't have kids yet. I don't have that fear as much. Because my dog doesn't give a crap if I work too much. Like he's just in here doing whatever, licking his own junk. But for me, it's a lot.
Licking his own junk on a record. That's okay. Awesome.
It's one of his favorite pastimes. So for me, it's actually not. I'm sorry. But anyway, for me, I've always had this fear that it'll never be enough. You know, whatever revenue goal, or, you know, just net worth or whatever, you know, I look at it like 10 or 15 years from now and I'm like, I think I'm going to be making a whole lot of money, but I'm worried that I'm never going to be like satisfied with that. And that sounds like kind of a stupid goal, but like as every entrepreneur, I feel like as you hit milestones and stuff, you're always looking to the next one, and you're always looking to the next one after that. And that's what I've done the whole time I've been working. And I'm like, you know, at what point am I going to be like, I'm satisfied with this? And I think it ties back into the family thing. Like, at what point am I going to be like, I'm satisfied with this? Now I need to chill. And I don't know what that's going to be for me, but I have this fear that I'm always going to try to keep chasing something. And there's this, I've talked about it before. There's this Logic song. I love Logic. And he talks about this struggle that he goes through where he, you know, he's a rapper, he's making great money, and he's always trying to like provide a better future for his family. He's always trying to like, he's like, I grew up in the hood. No, I did not grow up in the hood. But like, you know, he's always talking about how he always
Thanks
is like,
for the clarification, Bobby.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, like if people were wondering, like, did Bobby grow up in the hood? No, I grew up in a very middle-class suburb. But I do, like, he talks about this thing where it's like, he's always like chasing the money and always chasing. And then he gets to the point where he's at the end of his life and he's like, I was chasing money this whole time and I didn't spend enough time with my kids, or I didn't spend enough, you know, like I didn't. So maybe it is the same thing that you're worried about, but just in a different, from a different perspective. Like I don't know what numbers are going to be enough, and I'm worried I'm going to chase that for the rest of my life and then just be like, because it doesn't matter. Like we all, you know, we all die eventually. Like you don't take it with you. It doesn't matter, but I'm always thinking about that stuff. So that's probably my fear. So it's probably the same as yours.
It's interesting. Cause as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself like, oh, I think about that all the time. Like I was thinking about that yesterday, and like, and so I was like, it is similar. It is tied in, but it's a different perspective. Like it's a different way to look at the same problem, because I think that's part of it. Like, I think one of the reasons that I'm always like, go, go, go is kind of about what you talked about. Like, I'm not there yet. Like I haven't reached that point of like, this is enough. And it comes down to, you know, my wife and I have like a dream for what we want for our family and how we want to live and what we want to do. And we've always had that dream. But what has changed is that it used to just be a dream. Like it was just this thing that would be like, oh man, wouldn't it be great to have our own property, like have this big property and raise our boys on it, and they could run around and play, and we could have our dream house, and we could travel to different parts of the world, and we could do this and we could do that. And that dream is like becoming a reality. And so now I'm like, okay, it's not enough, because now that I know I can provide that, I need to provide that. And I need to provide it in a way that like my wife's comfortable to leave her like really nice job managing Coca-Cola plant, that she loves her job and it pays well, but like she wants to be home with the kids. And so it's like, I got to build this to the point where like she feels comfortable doing that, you know, cause she's not there yet. You know, that's not 100% comfortable with that yet. And so, yeah. And so, I mean, that it really does, like it's chasing that number. And I don't know what that number is. I know what the number is for her. She's told, but like, I don't know what it is for me. And so, but yeah, so I think it's very similar. It's interesting that you say that. Part of the reason I wanted to re-ask that question too, is because I was like, okay, now you know this about me. So I'm like, I'm going to end up asking you that question the minute we get off the recording. Why not ask it now and get your perspective where everyone can hear it? Cause I think it's good question.
It is. And I have a lot of friends that are older than me and like 50s and 60s and like that have owned businesses, and I still see them chasing stuff too. So it's like, I don't think it ever ends. I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're wired to never really feel satisfied, but there's gotta be a balance of like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. doing course launches or whatever. Like at some point it's going to chill out, and it might just happen very slowly over time, but that's my fear is like, man, what if I never figure that out? And I'm just like,
how do we get, I think the question for us is how do we get, what was that? It's funny. The baby's in my lap. He just like had this full body shiver. it was cute. I think the question for us is like, how do we get to that place of like, hey, let's do this project. Like it'll be fun. It'll help us build the business. Like, and we just kind of do it almost as like a hobby, right? Instead of like, we need to do this thing. Go, 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 go. You know, like there's still, we have projects. Like even you mentioned like the lead magnets. We're not like, hey, let's just create this new lead magnet, cause like, it'll be good. It's like, I need to have this one and this one. It's going to help me grow it. Like I haven't done this for my audience. They need it. And like, it's a job. You know what I'm saying? Like there's, I feel like we need to get to that balance where it's like, yeah, we're still chasing something, but like, oh, this would be a fun project. It'd be fun, you know, for example, something being like, it would be fun to do a live event. Like, let's schedule a live event, you know, instead of like, a lot of people would do something like that going like, I need to make money. I'm going to have a high ticket live event or whatever.
Right.
I don't really want to do that either.
You know, I'll give a quick disclaimer because I know we're coming up on the end of the episode, but like, I'm sure there are people that are sitting there going like, well, this all must be nice, Bobby and Mike. Like, you're talking about, like, when are you going to be satisfied with enough money? The thing that I want to point out is that, like, 3 years ago when I started this, like, I wasn't thinking about that at all. I was thinking about how to survive. Like, how can I make enough money to actually survive and prove to my wife that I didn't just totally screw up by leaving my job? So, like, my hope for everybody that listens to this podcast is that you do get to the place where you are asking the kind of questions that we're asking, because we've worked our asses off to get here, and we've done it in a pretty short amount of time. But I'm just, it's like the progression. So like, if you're sitting here listening to this and going to be like, oh, like, you know, these guys, they don't understand what it's like to be in the struggle or whatever. Like, I very much remember what it was like to be in the struggle. It was just like a year ago, you know, like.
Yeah. I remember investing in somebody to help me with Facebook ads back years ago before I got into it, and kind of feeling like I got screwed over and it not working very well. And I had invested a good amount of money in it, and then going like, man, am I going to be able to earn that money back? And I did, but like, that was a big fear. And I remember being like, man, am I going to be able to make enough doing this that I'm not going to like turn my wife against me? You know, like there's this time where it was like, okay, she's been super supportive and she's let me kind of pursue this thing and chase this thing. I was always scared of the day that she was going to go home and say like, hey, you know, it was fun. We did the experiment. Experiment failed. You know, let's not do that anymore. So you go through that. Like, that's not where we're at now. And that's what these questions were about, is like our thoughts right now. But if your biggest fear in business is different, cool. Ours was different a year ago, and it was different 2 years ago, and it was way different 3 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever. So definitely, I think it's good that you brought that up.
And there's Cooper. Cooper just climbed in. What is he doing?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, man. So that was, now that the kids are in here, it's probably, they're telling you it's like time to go, Dad. Man, I think that was fun. I think we need to do that more often because I think a lot of people, you know, we talk about business stuff. We talk about like how to, you know, the technical things. And lately we've been really digging into some kind of like boring topics, I think. But man, I just feel like this is like, I learned something from this. I'm like, wow, you know, like now I kind of have a good picture of what we need to do for the next 5 years and like what we both are worried about. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah, beneficial for us, but like, I hope people found it interesting. Like, man, and like you had the questions about like the lawyer stuff. I mean, just like kind of explain. I think everybody knows your story really well. And I don't think most people don't know my story, because like even your question was kind of, the way it was worded was, you know, not quite right with my story, since I wasn't like, oh, I hate law, I'm leaving, which I think is what a lot of people think. But no, anyway, a lot of fun. We'll definitely do this again. If you all have questions, if you have things that you want to hear on the podcast, please let us know in the comments or at team@laptopempires.com. But for now, yeah, please subscribe too, and all the other things I tell you to do after episodes. But the boys are here. They're ready to wrestle. It's time for me to go. So thank you so much. We'll see you next episode. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.